Morning, everybody. Welcome to the March 24th Board of Supervisors meeting. Would you please all, well, we can stand and salute the flag. We don't have any audience members today since it's not a public meeting, so we'll stand and say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, so we have a little bit of an unusual meeting. I noted that it wasn't a public meeting. We have several different county heads on the line to answer questions. We have three supervisors here in attendance and Supervisor Gibson on the line to answer questions or take votes. I guess I do have a question for Nina. Some of these votes today require 4/5 vote since we only have four or we don't have a full board today. Does that lessen the vote threshold or not?
Good morning, Nina Negranti, Assistant County Counsel. We will still need four votes for the 4/5 vote.
Okay.
And we should take a roll call on each one of those since we have a board member not present.
Do we need to take a roll call just now and then take care of that or on each vote?
Because we will need a 4/5, I would recommend a roll call on each vote.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay. So a couple of announcements to begin with. Anybody who wishes to submit a protest for the Shandon CSA 16 rate increase may do so today outside the Government Center on the Monterey Street side entrance. The staff is accepting protest votes via curbside drop-off. All protests will be placed in a secure box and provided to the clerk of the board in the chambers. I'm going to ask County Council to address Executive Order N-2920 relating to the convening of public meetings in response to COVID-19. So Nina, would you please address that?
Nina Negranti, Assistant County Counsel. Yes, Vice Chair. The March 17 order supersedes the order of the governor that was issued on March 12th, and essentially it allows public meetings to be made entirely electronically via teleconferencing. So no, we are not required to provide a public location. That is the biggest change. The noticing requirements with regard to the agenda remain the same, and the public is able to submit comments via our conferencing line. And our clerk can maybe go over exactly what systems are in place for the public.
We have remote viewing, so the public can watch the meeting live stream at www.slocounty.ca.gov. Public comment can be submitted one of two ways: verbal public comment by calling 805-788-6638, state and spell your name and mention the item number you're calling about to leave your comment. Email public comment, and that is at ad_board_clerk@co.slo.ca.us. Your comments will be placed in the administrative record of the meeting.
Very good, thank you. I'm gonna make a couple of announcements here too. I know there's a lot of questions. People are still interacting and interfacing with the county on different items. All of our legislative offices are still working, some from home, but we are here to answer your questions. I'm going to read the phone numbers off for the different district offices in case constituents have questions. So for District 1, the phone number is 805-781-4491. For District 2, 805-781-4338. For District 3, 805-781-4336. For District 4, 805-781-4337. For District 5, 805-781-4339. We also have the county website that you can go to for information if you need it during this time. And we have ReadySlow, readyslo.org for many issues involving COVID-19. We have a phone assistance line where a live person will answer your questions on COVID-19, and that phone line number is 805-543-2444. Please reach out to us. I know we've been getting a lot of questions, and any question, it's not too small. Please reach out to us if you need something. I'm going to, we have Dr. Penny Borenstein, our public health officer, on the line. I'm going to have her give an update right now before we even begin this meeting. So, Dr. Penny, can you hear me? And we're ready for your update, please.
I can. Thank you, Supervisor Thompson. I'm sorry if the sound is not great. I'm trying to be in a quiet place here at the Emergency Operations Center. So a number of things I want to cover. The first and foremost is the most important thing that we can all do as a community is to comply with the shelter at home executive order and all manner of social distancing that is recommended when folks do go out and about in the community, to tend to essential activities such as grocery and pharmacy shopping, getting exercise, pumping gas, etc. So within that social distancing order, we are this time looking to do and to depend on our community to comply. We think that the vast majority of people are, but in addition, we are doing compliance checks. So what that means is our environmental health team is going to be, has already been in communication and writing phone calls, and now we'll begin today to start doing on-site compliance checks for businesses to make sure that they are closed if they're supposed to be closed, to help them with any social distancing within the facility. Let's say it is, providing for takeout meals, et cetera. So the permanent facilities, we've got environmental health on that. Planning and building will be working similarly for other types of businesses that do not fall under environmental health. And then lastly, if needed, law enforcement will step up their presence in the community, as well as begin to issue citations if that should become necessary. Secondly, we need to know that planning for alternate care. It sounds like someone can still hear me over that.
We're not hearing you very well, Penny. It's hold on 1 minute, Penny. I'm just not sure anybody listening can hear. Hold on 1 second. We're trying to fix this. It's coming across kind of muffled.
Okay. Would that be better?
Let's try again. Thank you.
I was speaking through my speaker, and perhaps this is better. One of the major focus areas is developing an alternate care site, should we need that for patient care, if and when our community hospitals reach the maximum capacity to care for patients on hospital sites. So we are in the process of developing a contract with Cal Poly to use their facilities to house and care for any overflow that are less acute patients, but for whom the hospitals do not have sufficient capacity to care for. Thirdly, I want to mention that we have gotten good news on the PPE front. So personal protective equipment, that's masks, gowns, goggles, and gloves. We expect an order to be fulfilled from the state that will very much help our community providers who are in various stages of readiness to test, and with our ability to complete all requests for PPE, we continue to look to our community healthcare providers to bump up the level of testing that they are able to do, the level of specimen collection that they are able to do. Along with that, lab testing is critically important to make the testing available to everyone who needs a test. This has been an item that the community has been hearing about for a couple of weeks at least, and we have done everything that we can at the local level to try to enhance availability by, as I mentioned, creating the conditions whereby outpatient providers can collect specimens and get them to a laboratory for for testing. Two, we've been working with the private laboratory to community to make sure that they have what they need. Largely, they are getting their supplies through a different supply chain than us, but we now see that at least three private laboratories have started to report results to us. So that's a good thing. In addition, we are working with a consortium of the hospitals and their laboratory managers to try to get an additional high throughput machine to be available in our county. At the present time, the only testing physically taking place in our county is at the public health lab. So this will create a tenfold increase of what we're currently able to have control of within our county. And additionally, many have probably seen an announcement of a new company that is making available a new test that has a turnaround time of 45 minutes. And we have already placed an order for 10 such point of care, as it's called, tests. To be distributed throughout our community. We have absolutely no information on when or if even that request will be fulfilled. But the importance for folks to understand regarding expansion of laboratory testing is so that everybody who has this disease can know they have this disease and take appropriate precautions to further isolate and diminish the number of cases of transmission within households, within the community, et cetera. Lastly, on the medical front, I want to mention that we are continuing to do contact investigations. So we stand that as of yesterday at 33 cases. And for each one of those, we are doing comprehensive contact investigations, which means identifying all people that were in close contact during the period of communicability and issuing quarantine orders to those people. We have had a couple of cases where contacts may have been more widespread, and when that occurs, when we can't identify actual individuals at risk, but there is an entire community of sorts, like a 10th grade school, 10th graders in a particular school that happened recently. We also identified someone who attended the day before closure, a gym class. We go through those organizations to try to put out broad-based messaging to a larger group of potential contacts. And lastly, I want to talk about the aspect of this event, which is not only do we need to be addressing everything that comes with diminishment of disease spread, but because of the actions that we're taking regarding shelter at home and social distancing, there is a whole additional set of considerations and our need to support our community in the face of not being able to take care of themselves in the same ways that they're used to. So with that, we have a very large presence in the Emergency Operations Center related to care and shelter and behavioral health needs. And so just to name a few of the areas that we are focusing on are ensuring that our homeless population can get segregated if they are ill, and we're doing that through trailers and now contracts with motels in our various communities. We have stood up the availability of food distribution to seniors, the most vulnerable population who we are asking to stay home, even stay home from grocery stores to the extent that they can. So food distribution to that population is important. Thirdly, in partnership with the school system and the hospitals, we are beginning to provide child care for the critically important healthcare responders and other emergency responders to this pandemic. Fourthly, the county put into place an eviction ban so that we don't make matters economically worse for folks. And fifth is that our Department of Social Services is growing their staffing and ability to handle what we fully expect will be an onslaught of unemployment applications. So I will stop at that point and turn it back over to your board for any questions or public inquiries.
Are there any questions? Are there any questions for Dr. Bornstein? Am I still live? I don't feel like I am. Am I still live on the mic?
I'm hearing you.
Okay. Okay. I don't see any lights on. So if you could just stay on the line, we do have some people that have called in and left recorded messages. I'm not sure there will be any questions you might be able to answer, but could you just stay on the line for a little while?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay, so I am going to move on to the consent agenda. Now, since we don't have anybody in the audience, we have allowed people to submit comments in writing or via voicemail. The written comments will be added to the record, and Annette will play the voice comments. So I will have her begin with those right now. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Any changes to the agenda?
Yes. Addendum number one to the agenda. Added item to consent, which will be item number 33. Submittal of a resolution to ratify an executed contract with Elite Medical in the amount of $1,098,094 to implement a two-year pilot program for an on-site employee medical clinic. Approve a fixed asset purchase of the modular unit project and all associated installation costs not to exceed $232,550. Approve an associated amendment to the fiscal year 2019-20 fixed asset listing for the sheriff's office. Approve a corresponding budget adjustment for the capital purchase funded by an operating transfer out of workers' comp, ISF Fund Center 408, an operating transfer into the sheriff's office capital outlay account Fund Center 13601 by a 4/5 vote, and delegate authority to the Director of Central Services to execute amendments and execute such other contracts and take such other further actions as necessary related to the commencement of operation of the on-site medical clinic, all districts. The following items are withdrawn from the agenda. Item number 27, presentation on the 2020 census outreach efforts. Item number 31, report on cannabis program. Staff is recommending these items be withdrawn due to COVID-19 and will be bringing the items back at a future date. Amendment number 2 to the Board of Supervisors agenda. The following items are withdrawn from the agenda due to COVID-19 and will bring back for consideration at a future date. Item number 14, alternative publication for spring 2020 general plan amendment cycle. Item number 15, outreach and tracking poll for two potential ballot measures. Requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as these notices were posted prior to the 72-hour notice requirement.
Okay, thank you for that. So we will move on to the consent agenda, and I will have you play the, I think we have, how many voicemails, three? Two voicemails. So we'll play those first, and then we'll bring it back to the board to see if there are any questions or comments about any items on the consent agenda, or if there's anything we wish to pull.
Yeah, my name is Greg Graywall, G-R-E, Greg Graywall, G-R-E-W-A-L. I'm calling for the meeting that's happening today on March 24th, and my item in consent is item number 16. It deals with the of consent and file, and the report doesn't reflect grant money that was acquired and spent. It doesn't reflect tax dollars that were spent on the Nazi pipeline that were taken from flood control and weren't returned when that 6,000 was transferred. It doesn't show dollars that were spent in the quiet title lawsuit action. And it doesn't, and it should talk about the cost of RAC, the Water Resources Advisory Committee, what that annual cost is, and why we're still spending that money on that when the money can go towards the GSAs now that the GSAs are specific to the different basins. My next comment is on item 30, which is not on consent. Shandon, I guess, is having a, they want to have a 218 vote. First, you have down that, that's in District 5. That's in District 1, not District 5. And you spent $1 million of taxpayers' money to build a turnout. You've only used 140 acre feet of water in the last 3 years when you could have used 300 acre feet of water in lieu of pumping. You have a court order that says that you're not supposed to take a certain amount of water that was signed June 7th of 2019 out of the basin. And you have a proposed build out in 2040 that you have listed in the Countywide Water Conservation Program book of 2015. And there's no way you can meet that build out with the amount of water that's available in that community. You should be purchasing the state water to the maximum before you're pumping groundwater. So there's some issues according with that. My final thing is public comment, item number 28. And, yeah, hi, my name is Greg Graywall, and I'm calling. This is a public comment, item number 28. And you're having a public meeting, and I know that there's this coronavirus, quote-unquote, emergency.
Good morning. This is Phil Acosta. That's P-H-I-L-A-C-O-S-T-A, right-of-way agent for the Department of Public Works. I am calling regarding the March 24th, 2020, item number 18 on the agenda, the consent agenda. I would like to express appreciation for item 18, the resolution of commendation for my career. I am very thankful for the opportunity to serve the citizens of our state and county and communities, along with my wonderful team of colleagues, coworkers, and friends. I am also thankful to my wife, Nancy, who has encouraged me and supported my efforts to have such a fruitful career. For my children, grandchildren, and for those that are still searching, it is my sincere hope and prayer that each of you may find the occupation or career that both challenges you and satisfies you. I am most thankful for the feeling that I have been doing the work that I was designed to do. The present concerns will pass, and the meaningful events are the ones that will stay with us for the duration. Life is great. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Is that all of that, Nancy? Okay. I believe we need a clarification from our county council, Nina Negranti, about the Brown Act.
Yes, Vice Chair. Nina Negranti, Assistant County Counsel. I would just like to clarify that even though the report by Dr. Borenstein was not agendized, that under the recent executive order issued by the governor with regard to Brown Act, it allows conference calls regarding COVID updates, even with a quorum when it's not agendized, but no action can be taken.
Very good, thank you. Okay, so now we have four items on the consent agenda that we will need a roll call vote for and an attendance call, roll call for, because they require four-fifths vote. So before we do that, the items are 11, 13, 25, and 33. Before we do that, are there any comments from the two members here or Supervisor Gibson on the line about any of the items that you wish to pull or do a separate vote, et cetera? Supervisor.
Yes. First of all, I want to thank Phil Acosta for his service to the county, and I've really enjoyed and appreciated working with them. And then the second comment I have is just a question. Item number 9 on our agenda requires a two-thirds vote. I don't know, because it has a special requirement, if that should also not be a roll call vote.
The entire consent agenda will be a roll call vote. Right.
Well, we're...
So that'll...
Okay.
That'll give you 4/5. So you're going to do the... Council, correct? You're going to do the entire consent agenda as a roll call vote. Therefore, you'll have a 4/5 vote.
That is correct, because we have one of our supervisors that is teleconferencing, and the recommendation is that any votes taken by roll call.
Any votes that require 4/5.
Well, 4/5, and then for the consent as a whole, minus those items, there should still be a roll call.
Okay, we'll just do a roll call vote on everything then. All right, Supervisor Gibson, did you have a comment to make?
Yeah, yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to add my thanks to Mr. Acosta. In the years he served the county, it was always a pleasure to work with him. He provided accurate information and timely, and both my legislative assistants I know really enjoyed working with him. I do have also just a couple questions related to item number 12, which is the clerk recorder's item.
Okay, Tommy is on the line, so you want to ask your questions?
Yeah, so to preface this, I am supportive of this change. You know, it does come with a price tag, but I think ensuring good operations, especially within our election division, you know, and also our recording division, also very important. The questions are really related. First is, I'll put them both out there for simplicity. First is, when do we expect the canvas of the current election to be completed? I know that we have been granted an extension. You know, is there a date where we expect to get that done? And then the second question really is a matter of planning for the future. With the increased capacity having a deputy director, I'd like to suggest it would be prudent to plan for an all vote by mail election in November, and would hope my colleagues would support direction to our clerk recorder to develop a plan for what that would look like. Again, there might be a price tag to that, but I think given the current state of things, it would be wise to get ready for that eventuality. And those are my questions and suggestions at this point.
Tommy, are you still on the line to respond?
Yes, this is Tommy Gong, County Clerk Recorder. So in regards to question one with when the canvas will be completed, we're putting the finishing touches on it as we speak. I'm really hoping we'll be done by the end of the week, if not before Friday. That's certainly our expectation. So we were able to, based on some of the efforts that we did perform during the election, it had given us the opportunity to reduce the amount of time it would take to complete our canvas. So we're hoping for this week sometime. And then planning for the future, November, more immediately. So just some updates from the state level. The Secretary of State's office has been considering calling for an all vote by mail election for this coming November. There was already some special calls for some of the more immediate elections taking place outside of March, in particular elections that are happening in May for some vacancy elections, and those were deemed as all vote by mail, as well as some other elections taking place. So it's looking more like, from a state standpoint, that will come about. There is a funding mechanism being discussed that will take place at the state legislature, and so I'm closely monitoring that. I think all counties have so far supported the idea of going with an all vote by mail. The question is for those voters who still need to do an in-person voting opportunity on Election Day or prior to Election Day, those are the questions that need to be answered in terms of really how many locations do we think each respective county will need in order to fulfill those in-person voting opportunities. Everything else being a vote by mail in terms of our ballot printer and mailhouse vendor can certainly take on the additional ballots that would need to be issued. We sent out Okay. And so certainly that can be had. Our equipment that we've invested in will be able to handle that additional influx. And so I think we're looking really good in terms of being able to perform our November election in this manner.
Great. And just to, if I could follow up at a point when you can detail the logistical and the financial considerations of that, I think a report to the board on that would be most appreciated.
Sure. Okay, very good.
Okay, thank you, Tommy.
Thank
so
you.
I see two other supervisor lights on. Are you ready to go to a vote, or do you have questions or comments or want to pull anything? Okay, so we're going to, I guess we, I need a motion for someone to pull 11, and we'll take separate votes, 13, 25, and 33.
11, 13, 25, and
33. Those are the ones that.
So I'd make a motion to pull those and approve staff's recommendation. Is that? No, 33 can't
11,
be.
13, 25, and 33, those are the ones that require four-fifths vote. So we need to vote on each one separately. So should we just
under discussion, I'll just ask again, because there is a number associated, a vote threshold on number 9. Is that, that's the reason we're pulling the others? Would you just, for the record, want that pulled as well? It has a two-thirds vote
or
requirement.
Or if you'd like to pull it, you can pull it too.
No, I'm just asking legally if that's what council wants.
Because that
it has a threshold.
That requires a two-thirds vote. That should also be in the separate roll call.
Okay, so 9, 11, 13, 25, and 33. So
I'll make a motion to approve everything right now, except 9, 11, 13, 25, and 33. We'll pull those for a separate vote.
All right, do I have a second on that motion?
Second.
Okay, Annette, I'll ask for a roll call vote.
Mr. Pashong?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
And Ms. Compton?
Yes. Okay, now we'll pull these individually. So I need, I guess, a motion for someone to pull 11 and a
I'll
second.
I'll move staff's recommendation for item number 9 on our agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I'll ask the clerk recorder, Annette, to take a roll call vote on number 9. Oh, do we need a, did you say we need an attendance vote first, or does that... If we just vote, and how would you wish to handle this?
With a roll call vote, you're going to have
the attendance.
The attendance.
Okay, very
exactly.
Good. That's what I thought. Okay, so number 9 we're pulling and taking a separate vote, and we have a first and a second on that. So
just number 9.
Just
correct.
Number 9. We're going to do them all separately.
Okay. Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Pashong?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
And Ms. Compton?
Yes. So we have four votes on that. Do we need to announce that? Four out of five votes and that passes. Do we need to announce that?
That was a two-thirds, so we met that
yep.
threshold.
Okay, so I wish to have somebody pull.
Motion to approve item 11.
And a second, please.
Second.
All right, I'll ask Annette for a roll call vote on item number 11.
Mr. Pashong?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
And Ms. Compton?
Yes. Item number 13.
Motion to approve item number 13.
Second, please.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Mr. Pashong?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yeah.
And Ms. Compton?
Yes. Item number 25.
A motion to approve item number 25.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Pashong?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
And Ms. Compton?
Yes. Item number 33, please.
I'll move staff's recommendation on 33.
I will approve second.
Roll call vote, please.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Pashong?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yeah.
And Ms. Compton?
Yes. Okay, so we will move on from the consent agenda. And we will move on to public comment. Again, I mentioned we had written public comments and also have accepted voicemails, and I believe we have 5 voicemails to play, so why don't we begin with those?
Supervisor Compton, if
yes.
I may, while she's coming around.
Sure.
Guy Savage with the County Administrative Office. I just wanted to make it clear for the public that may be listening or watching. All of the written comments that were received will be made part of the record, and they're provided to each board member. Only those that are received via voicemail are going to be played. Those that are received written will not be read in the chambers live during the meeting, but you guys get all a copy of all of them.
And we did. I already read them this morning, so right. Thank you for that.
Yeah, this is item 28, public comment for today's meeting, March 24th, 2020. My name is Greg Graywall, G-R-E-W-A-L, Graywall. You're having a public meeting today with no public invited, and we're doing this over the phone without listening to other people's comments or seeing the staff report, which normally comes first before we can make comments to know what the staff is recommending or what they're doing. The internet was all out since for the last few days, so you couldn't get any information until late last night, and I think it's unacceptable, regardless of the coronavirus or any emergency, to be voting on things or having public meetings with no public. So thank you very much.
Next one.
Yeah, this is Dr. Gene Nelson speaking on agenda item 28, public comment for March 24th, 2020. Hello remotely from Gene Nelson to the Board of Supervisors and staff. I appreciate the work each of you are doing to keep us safe during the current COVID-19 pandemic. A few days ago, I sent each of you an excellent article from Dr. Lucy Jones, the earthquake lady, explaining the importance of social distancing. I hope Dr. Jones's essay is disseminated widely. Here's a convenient URL I created. tinyurl.com/social-distancing-1. I'd like to remind each of you of the importance of the continued safe operation of Diablo Canyon Power Plant beyond 2025. Diablo Canyon's safe, reliable, abundant, always-on, cost-effective, and zero-emission power protects California public safety and welfare, particularly in light of the need for reliable power for California's hospitals and first responders to fight and contain COVID-19. Intermittent power, such as that produced by solar and wind, can't be counted on for this important mission. While fossil fuels can produce dispatchable power, this power comes with the penalty of increased harmful air pollution, millions of metric tons per year of carbon dioxide equivalents from the California power generation sector. Californians for Green Nuclear Power Incorporated, CGNP, strongly supports AB 2898 Cunningham, which would confer the same economic advantages enjoyed by solar and wind, despite their significant intermittency, for Diablo Canyon's safe, steady nuclear power. I've attached a relevant article by Michael Schellenberger, which provides additional details regarding the intrinsic safety of nuclear power. Thank you again for your work.
Next one.
Hi, this is Joe Collins. My comment is for the next meeting, which I think is March 25 or in that region. We have great concern about the new directive in which people do not have to pay their rent or their rent is delayed for 8 months. We know that it's very difficult to collect rent. We know that after 8 months or more, it is almost impossible. Our ability to collect rent is less than 1%. We think this is entirely wrong. We think it's unfair. We think it is communism. We believe that it is failed government to make property owners take the bear the responsibility of this pandemic. When somebody goes to the grocery store, they must pay for their food. You must pay for your gas. You must pay for your clothing. If you do not pay your rent, owners will lose their buildings. We have expenses. We have loans. We have property taxes. If you're going to do something like this, you need to fund property owners so that they can survive this storm. This is entirely wrong. This is a disaster, and we will make every effort to elect supervisors that will represent property owners and not pass imprudent laws of this nature. That's all I have to say, but I'm only hopeful that property owners would gather up with many attorneys and fight this fully. Thank you so much. I know we will.
Next one.
My name is Dave Watson, DaveWatson. I was looking to make comment at the board meeting under public comments today. I was hoping that I would be able to express to the board the need to consider the adoption of an ordinance extending permits associated with land use and subdivision entitlements, as well as construction. In this time of emergency, one of the industries that you're going to need to rely on to bring us out of this recession is going to be the real estate and development industry, period. Hundreds of companies and thousands of employees are reliant upon a stable system, which has been understandably disrupted because of the virus, period. Offices are closed, comma. Suppliers are unavailable, comma. There are a number of unknowns heading into a recession, comma. And it's critically important that the board take action to extend permits to provide some opportunity for those of us in the industry to adapt to the conditions that are coming forward, period. It would be my hope that the board would consider a two-year extension to land use and subdivision entitlements and a one-year extension to construction permits to allow us to try to work through the uncertainties of these shortages of county staff availability, consultant availability, and supply chains. Please consider adopting an ordinance that would extend land use and subdivision entitlements and construction permits for a period of time that will allow us to get through this current pandemic period. Thank you. Dave Watson.
Is there one more, Annette?
Hello, my name is Ellen Sturtz, E-L-L-E-N, last name S-T-U-R-T-Z. This is for the public comment period for the board meeting of March 24th. Dear board members, considering the global pandemic, I would like to know what the county plans to do with regards to items with regulatorily dictated public review and comment periods. If the intent of the regulations is to maximize public input, then it would seem prudent to postpone until sometime after the governor determines we are no longer in crisis. Rightfully, people are focused on critical life-supporting activities, focusing on and adjusting to these new circumstances. Likely, the last thing they are thinking about is reviewing government reports and requests for comment. I suggest we all take a breath, a pause, step back, and look at what we are doing that might be questioned in the post-pandemic world. Having spent 20 years in government, I am reminded how often we think that we are doing what we are doing is essential and has to remain on the timeline set forth. The reality is that what we do is important, though for the most part, if we are not in emergency services, healthcare at this time, most things can be postponed. This, of course, would include, though not limited to, the proposed Los Osos sewer rate increase. If the county chooses to proceed as if we are not in a global pandemic, I am sure some portion of the Los Osos community will add it to the list of county crimes against our community. Taking a pause will cost you little and possibly can help build lost trust and respect. As you know, perception is important. What will it look like if you continue with the review periods in addition to Los Osos, and decisions are made that the public becomes aware of post-pandemic? Your decisions may be questioned even more than usual as people wonder why you thought it necessary to make these decisions during a crisis. The perception will likely be, as often citizens fear, that government agencies are not prepared to act on their behalf and only ask for public comment because they're required to do so. Would you lose anything by extending all review periods at least 60 days after the governor lifts the restrictions put into place? Postponing action could be looked upon as thoughtful, realistic, caring, humane, and one truly interested in maximizing community input. Thank you.
Okay, is that the last? Okay, so we have no more recorded messages. And I will bring it back to the board. Are there any comments from members of the board?
Yeah.
Supervisor Pashon?
Yeah, just on the public comment on the one-year construction to extend permits for one-year construction and two-year subdivision land use entitlements, I think that that's probably something we should look at. So just wanted to throw my two cents in there.
Supervisor Arnold?
I agree with that. And I suppose the way to do that would be to agendize it for a later date, and I agree that the building industry, when they're able to return to normal activity, is you know, could very likely need that kind of help from the county. And that leads me into my other comment. Our last speaker was talking about delaying action by the board, and I want to ask guys here. Our next board meeting, actually, unless there's some kind of an emergency declaration needed, would be April 21st or 28th. It's a ways out there, correct?
That's correct. Guy Savage, County Administrative Office. As it sits right now, we do anticipate the next board meeting will be April 21st. We are holding April 7th in case there's something urgent that comes along. But yes, that's correct. And then on the other item, as far as the delay or extension of entitlements and permits, you don't need to specifically agendize something at this point. I can work with planning and building and others to bring back an item once we've had some time to look through what it might mean.
Great. And then lastly, we had the gentleman that was talking about the eviction ban. That I know that must be important to landlords throughout the county, throughout the state, but I was wondering if someone could speak to the process now. Under these emergency statutes, the Board of Supervisors, that was not something that we voted on. That was something that was decided upon by the emergency team, and maybe that's something you could do, Guy. Talk about the process of how that came into place, and then if there's anything we know of that could provide relief to landlords that have those bills to pay and are just in a...
So I'm looking across the county council in case she has more information. Guy Savage with the County Administrative Office. My understanding is the anti-eviction rules are both local and at the state. And I don't have a whole lot more beyond what they've said thus far. And I'm not aware of any additional support for landowners, property owners.
Nina, did you...
Yes, Nina Negranti, Assistant County Counsel. This is being evaluated by the state. The latest regulations have come from the state, and so we cannot be any less restrictive than the state is. So we are, just know that this is a very hot topic right now, and I anticipate we're going to be seeing some guidance and regulations with regard to evictions.
Very good. Thank
Madam
you.
Chair.
Yes, Supervisor
if I might add to that. That is a hot topic of discussion at the state level. First thing to note is that this is a ban on evictions for good cause failure to pay rent. It does not absolve the tenant of having to pay the rent. It's simply a matter of staying eviction orders. There is a considerable amount of discussion at the state level of legislation that would put an eviction ban into place, coupled with some manner of support for landlords, and the exact details of how that might look is a topic of discussion right now. CSAC is fully engaged in that. On the other topic that came up, I'm open to considering the question of extending land use and construction permits for a reasonable amount of time. I think there's one other piece of our planning process that needs consideration, and it is also being considered at the state level. There, in planning, there's the Permit Streamlining Act that requires action within a certain time of an application being deemed complete or an entitlement is automatically issued. That has caused some concern with counties, not only for the Permit Streamlining Act, but there are a couple of other state statutes that require action or certain conclusions. So I think that that question, so that projects not only get extended, but also get appropriate review without unreasonable deadlines, given the current situation, would be something we should add to our conversation. Thank you.
Okay, Supervisor Arnold.
Yeah, and going back to the eviction ban on the concerns over that, I believe that our county, we had a deadline, we had a date that's in place here in the county until May 31st. Is that correct?
I'm looking to our chief deputy county counsel who was working on the eviction issue.
Jonas Hollibehair, chief deputy county counsel. I don't know the exact date, but yes, we do have a parallel eviction ban that was issued by the emergency services director. It applies to both residential and commercial. We are hearing back from our legal community as to how that's somewhat playing out. And we are looking at, you know, maybe making some clarifying regulations or decisions by county counsel's office. If you look at section 16 of that order, it allows Rita as county counsel to further and implement that order. And so what we're trying to do is we're evaluating it, seeing how it's playing out, and we're trying to make sure that the intent of what that was, which was to stop evictions based on failure to pay rent post the proclamation of emergency to a date certain. And I believe it is March 31st, but I don't know the exact date off the top of my head.
So, John, when we get clarifications, will those be posted on readyslow.org?
Absolutely, yeah, and we've been communicating all this out to I've developed a small working group with our legal community, and we've been pushing information out, especially the individuals who represent businesses, tenants, landlords, both commercial and residential.
So if I hear you correctly, we're still working on this. It's not set in stone, and any changes or inputs and decisions will be posted on readyslow.org.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Beyond what is already currently posted.
Absolutely,
right now.
Yeah.
But I believe it is set in stone. We're just working out the interpretations and the details.
Right.
Like we always have to do. And I appreciate what the intention is, because I know that there are going to be people that have suddenly been sent home from work and maybe can't pay their rent. And I also appreciate the gentleman that called in saying, especially if you had commercial property where you've suddenly lost your tenants or they may not be able to pay the rent. So we've got people on both sides of that issue that are could be really detrimentally affected. So just so the listening public knows that we're doing our best to work on that. And and back to the question, there it's possible that at some government level there'll be some relief for the landlords that are bearing the brunt for now.
Correct. There is discussion on it being the relief being vertically integrated, not only to the tenants but to, you know, the property owners as against the lenders, and to provide relief, you know, all the way up and down.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Supervisor Kishon?
I just want to point out that Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham is also very engaged in this issue and working on it for us. So.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay. So we have no more comments by voicemail. Supervisor Gibson, any other further comments, or we will move on?
No, ma'am. I'm fine.
Okay. Very good. So we will now move on to our first hearing, our first and only hearing, number 30, and I will have Annette, our clerk recorder, read it into the record.
Item number 29, a hearing to consider a temporary commercial outdoor entertainment license application for events to be held at the Avila Beach Golf Course and Resort. The applicant is requesting a continuance to May 12th, 2020 in District 3. Staff is recommending this item be continued to May 12th. On March 11th, the auditor, controller, tax collector received a second request from the applicant to continue the public hearing.
Okay, so we don't have any public comment on this, correct? There's no voicemails. All right, so I guess I need a motion
from a member of the board to continue the hearing to May 12th.
I'll make a motion to continue this hearing until May 12th, 2020.
And I need a second.
I'll second that.
Okay, I'll ask for a voice vote then.
Roll call.
A roll call vote.
Mr. Pashong?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
And Ms. Compton?
Yes. Okay, we will move on to our hearing, item number 30. I'll ask the clerk to read that.
Item number 30, a hearing to consider protest to a proposed water service charge increase in County Service Area Number 19 in Shandon, and consider adoption of the attached ordinance if no majority protest exists, and find that the project is exempt from CEQA. And it states it's in District 5, but it's really District 1.
Okay. We will have a staff presentation via teleconference on this.
Okay, good morning, board members. This is Kate Ballantyne with Public Works. We are here today holding a protest hearing for CSA 16 Shandon's water service charge. I just wanted to mention we have a short PowerPoint presentation. We do have a significant delay between the video and our audio. So in order to follow along, we will just be announcing which slide number we're on. And then please stop us if we get off track and let us know. So quickly today, we have Jill Ogren, our senior water utilities engineer, who will be giving the presentation.
Good morning, Chairperson Compton and members of the board. Today's presentation outlines the need for a water rate increase for the nearly 50-year-old water system in Shandon, which serves approximately 340 customers. Slide two. Today, we are here proposing a rate increase because revenues generated from the sales of water cannot keep up with the operations and maintenance costs, increasing costs of state water and existing loan payments, resulting in a need for approximately an additional $180,000 per year. Next slide. This slide shows that the most significant need for the system is additional funds for operations and maintenance. Next slide. No. Slide four. Okay. This graph illustrates where revenues are now, that's the green line, with respect to what is needed, that's the black line above that. In addition, this also shows the condition of reserves, which are basically a fund's savings account. It is anticipated that at fiscal year end, reserves will be at zero. The red dashed line shows where optimally our reserves would be. Today's rate increase does not address the building of reserves. Slide five. This is the proposed rate that will provide the needed additional $180,000. The increase is mainly to the base rate with smaller increments of increases to the tiered usage rates. Next slide. Slide six. This is a summary of our public outreach efforts, which culminated with the December 3rd community meeting. With respect to the requirements of Prop 218, we noticed and mailed all the customers beginning January 28th through the 31st, giving 56 days before today's hearing for them to protest. Information was also posted on our website, and the county clerk published a notice of this public hearing. Next slide, number seven. This slide shows today's recommended actions. One, determine if there's a majority protest. If not, adopt the ordinance. Find the project is exempt from CEQA. Next slide. This slide is most undoubtedly not needed as we, at this time, we do not believe we have a majority protest. That concludes our presentation.
Okay, are there any board questions or comments for staff? Supervisor Pashong.
Just one question. This is a rate increase and we'll find out if they have a majority protest or not, but just wanted to make sure and see if we can do this. We're currently under an emergency order throughout the county and throughout the state, and wanted to see if we could put off the rate increases until after the emergency order is.
I'm going to read that comment too. Okay. It will be delayed for 30 days.
Perfect.
Supervisor Arnold?
Yep, mine is just more of a comment. Thank you, Jill. The same thing, we had the same situation in Santa Margarita, these pipe systems for water in some of our rural communities that are 50 years old, in this case 50 years old, and in need of more expensive repairs. It's not something that I feel happy about, raising anybody's water rates. Actually, we're not doing that. They're having to do that, but it becomes a necessity, and it's not about the water. It's about the infrastructure, and we're just seeing several communities in the county that all of a sudden right now it's come to a critical point where the rates have to be increased in order to make the needed repair. So I feel bad that a community of 340 people are having to foot a bill that large, but it just is what it is, and there's really no way around it.
Supervisor Pashon.
And to back up what Supervisor Arnold said, this is a community, since I've been supervisor, that's had, I think, two boil water notices because the infrastructure is getting older. So I think this will help if it moves forward. If not, we will discuss with the community then.
Supervisor Gibson, did you have any comments or questions?
No, I think all the points have been covered here.
Okay, so I'm going to open the floor to written protests received outside the chambers. Were there any?
We did not receive any.
Okay, and there's been no public comment received for this item, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so I'm going to close the time to submit written protests. I'm going to ask Annette if she needs time to tabulate any protests received. Since we don't have any outside, we don't need to do that. Okay, so I'm going to ask the clerk to announce the total number of written protests received and if that amount constitutes a majority protest.
I received 39 written protests, which does not constitute a majority.
Okay, so I understand there are immediate infrastructure needs for the continued operation of the CSA system, but right now people need immediate help. I think we all agree with that. So I'm comfortable with one of my counterparts making the motion to adopt the ordinance, provided that the effective date of the ordinance implementation of the increase is deferred for 30 days after the county emergency proclamation has been terminated. So the clerk just reported we did not receive a majority protest. We find there is not a majority protest. I need a motion to adopt the ordinance to take place 30 days after the county emergency proclamation has been terminated.
Excuse me, Madam Vice Chair, could I just make a comment? So so we could clarify on the record and for the motion, the ordinance will not go into effect for 30 days after passage. What your board can do is adopt the ordinance with the today, and it will be effective 30 days after, but you defer actual collection of the charges until 30 days after the emergency proclamation is revoked.
Has expired.
Okay. So in other words,
if I might offer a clarification, counsel, that the increase will not go into effect until a time in the future after the emergency proclamation comes out.
That is correct, but the ordinance itself will be adopted and effective in 30 days, but collection will be deferred.
Okay.
For the increase.
Well, for the increase. Okay, that was my only clarification. I think that sounds like the appropriate path. Thank you.
Okay, so I need a motion.
Make the motion that finds that there was not a majority protest and move this forward with the collection of the increase deferred.
To adopt the ordinance too.
And adopt the ordinance, but the collection of the increase would be deferred for 30 days after the expiration of the emergency order.
And can we waive the reading on that too?
Waive the reading?
Okay. All right, so I will ask, do you have a comment, Supervisor? Okay, so I have a motion and a second, and is that motion clear enough, Council, I'm asking?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
So I will ask for a roll call vote, please.
Can I have that the motion include that it finds the project is exempt from CEQA, please?
Yes, definitely.
And do we need to note the number of votes in it or not in the motion?
39 protests were received, which do not constitute a majority protest. So you
Okay,
so we're
finding.
Okay voting then now?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I will ask for a roll call vote.
Mr. Pashong?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
And Ms. Compton?
Yes. All right, so item number 31, the county cannabis program has been pulled from the agenda. Do you wish to make any comments on that? Nope. Okay, do we have closed session today? I'll ask county council.
Nina Negranti, your board, there are no matters to meet in closed session with today.
Okay, so we will, are there any other comments from members of the board? I see Supervisor Pashong's.
I was just gonna make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, Supervisor Gibson, do you wish to make any comments before we adjourn?
No, ma'am, we're good.
Okay, I do need to make one comment. I did receive a text from Wade Horton, and he's indicating that our COVID hotline, the hotline number that I mentioned earlier, which is the 805-543-2444, is temporarily down. We're working on that issue right now, so it's temporarily down. We hope to get it back running soon. Other than that, everybody, please stay safe out there. Call our district offices if you need help with anything. There's a daily press briefing in the afternoons. If you want to keep up with what's going on with the COVID updates, please go visit those, watch them live or in recorded fashion. And we have a motion to adjourn. And do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Stay safe.